from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak for Monday, January 24th, 2022. Coming up this hour.
The U.S. orders families of diplomats to leave Ukraine as tensions with Russia mount.
On Wall Street, stock futures stabilize after last week's sell-off.
Goldman Sachs comes out with a hawkish forecast for Fed policy.
And Dr. Anthony Fauci says the Omicron outbreak could soon peak.
New York City is reeling from the deadly shooting of a police officer. Plus, trial begins for three ex-Minneapolis policemen involved in George Floyd's death. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stash, Aaron Swartz. The Chiefs beat the Bills in an epic playoff game. The Rams beat the Bucks. The Knicks won. The Nets and Devils lost.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. futures are higher after last week's sell-off. We're coming up to 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 9 points. Dow futures up 71. NASDAQ futures up 20. The DAX in Germany is down 1.2%. 10-year Treasury up 8/32nds, yield 1.72%. The yield on the 2-year, 1.01%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.3% or 24 cents at $85.38 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.5% or $9.80 at $18.43.90 an ounce. The euro 1.1326 against the dollar. The yen's at 113.61. Nathan.
Karen, we'll have more on the markets in a minute, but we begin this morning with the latest geopolitical tensions between the White House and Moscow. Concerns over a Russian invasion of Ukraine have the U.S. taking steps to protect Americans in the country. Amy Morris has the latest from our Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
Washington ordered diplomats' families to leave Ukraine, the UK withdrawing about half of its embassy staff and their families. EU ministers are talking with Secretary of State Antony Blinken about next steps. They're prepared to say that any further military aggression by Russia will have, quote, massive consequences and severe costs. This as President Biden is reportedly weighing whether to send troops to Eastern Europe to support NATO allies. The New York Times reports that would involve up to 5,000 troops plus warships and aircraft. In Washington, I'm Amy Morris, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Amy, thank you. Secretary of State Antony Blinken is speaking out on the pending conflict with Russia. He's rejecting pressure to escalate sanctions on Moscow, saying it would limit his options in the future.
The purpose of those sanctions is to deter Russian aggression. And so if they're triggered now, you lose the deterrent effect.
And Antony Blinken made the comments on NBC's Meet the Press, heard Sundays on Bloomberg Radio.
All right, let's turn back to markets now, Karen, where we are seeing some stabilization this morning after last week's sell-off. Bloomberg's John Tucker joins us live with the details. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Nathan. The NASDAQ 100 is coming off its worst week since the start of the pandemic in March of 2020. The end of central bank stimulus has many rethinking their outlooks. The Fed decision on Wednesday is expected to signal a March interest rate hike and a balance sheet reduction later this year. Now, U.S. stocks have historically performed well during rate hike cycles as a growing economy tends to support corporate profit growth. In fact, stocks have risen at an average annualized rate of 9% during the 12 rate hike cycles since the 1950s. On average, strategists also project the S&P 500 will finish the year just shy of 5,000, 13% above Friday's closing level. Live in New York, I'm John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thank you. And as we wait for Wednesday's Fed decision, one Wall Street bank is out with a hawkish forecast. We get the latest live from Bloomberg's Renita Young. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, Karen. Goldman Sachs economists say the Fed could tighten policy more aggressively than anticipated. They're clocking rate increases in March, June, September, and December, and for the central bank to announce the start of a balance sheet reduction in July. Goldman economists are concerned because the Omicron variant is prolonging supply-demand imbalance. And there's continued wage strength and growth, which could increase ongoing inflation pressures. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
And Renita, anticipation of tighter policy from the Fed is also weighing on Bitcoin. That, combined with word the White House is preparing a strategy for digital assets, had Bitcoin hit a low of 34,000 over the weekend. Bitcoin is down nearly 50% from its all-time high in November. And checking the cryptocurrency now, it's at $34,500.
Well, Nathan, let's turn to the pandemic now. U.S. COVID cases appear to be leveling off, and there's hope the numbers could soon start heading south. Dr. Anthony Fauci says this surge could be nearing its peak.
But if the pattern follows the trend that we're seeing in other places, things are looking good. We don't want to get overconfident, but they all look like they're going in the right direction right now.
Dr. Fauci made the comments on ABC's This Week, heard Sundays on Bloomberg Radio.
Well, COVID's front and center in Europe this morning, Karen, as British Prime Minister Boris Johnson faces his most crucial week in office. Let's go live to London and get the latest from Bloomberg's Ewan Potts. Good morning, Ewan.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. Prime Minister Boris Johnson is awaiting the results of an inquiry due to report this week into large gatherings at Downing Street during the COVID lockdowns. It's an investigation that could lead to his own Conservative Party colleagues ousting him as leader. Separately, the PM is also under attack over the conduct of the senior party managers who maintain voting discipline among lawmakers. It's not a week that Johnson will be looking forward to. Live in London, I'm Ewan Potts, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Ewan, thank you. Back here in the U.S., some corporate news to get you caught up on. Shares of Kohl's are higher by 26%. The department store chain is fielding interest from two potential buyers. Sources say the latest bid comes from Sycamore Partners. Earlier, another bidder, backed by hedge fund Starboard Value, offered $9 billion for Kohl's. Activist investors have been pressuring Kohl's to sell.
Peloton shares are up 2%, Karen. Bloomberg News has learned an activist investor there is pushing Peloton to fire its CEO and try to sell itself. Blackwell's Capital has less than a 5% stake in the fitness company. Peloton's shares have plunged more than 80% from their all-time high a year ago.
And on the economic front today, Nathan, a new survey shows a buildup of U.S. inflation and labor shortages. The National Association for Business Economics says more than half of the companies surveyed boosted prices in the fourth quarter. That's the highest in the survey's 40-year history. On top of that, more than 75% expect higher wage costs in the next 3 months.
Okay, right now S&P futures are up, but only by about 2 points. Dow futures up 24. NASDAQ futures have turned lower now. They're down 6 points. The 10-year Treasury is up 9/32. The yield, 1.72%. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines and a check of sports. This is Bloomberg. And it's 5:07 on Wall Street, 30 degrees in Central Park. An accident investigation has the BQE closed eastbound between 31st and the RFK Triborough Bridge. Details coming up in traffic. First, Michael Barr with more on what's going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. New York City is preparing to lay to rest a rookie police officer killed last week. Funeral services for 22-year-old New York City police officer Jason Rivera are being finalized. Rivera and Officer Wilbert Mora were shot Friday night while answering a call about an argument between a woman and her adult son in Harlem. Mora was wounded and is fighting for his life. The man police say shot them also was wounded by a third responding officer. New York City Mayor Eric Adams vows to take action to address not just the latest police shooting, but crime in general.
This is a sea of crime that's being fed by many rivers, and we have to dam each one of those rivers. And we have been unsuccessful to do so throughout the years. These crimes did not start during my administration. They have been here for far too long in many parts of our community.
Mayor Adams on CNN also mentioned another high-profile crime that occurred more than a week ago. A 40-year-old woman on a subway platform in Times Square, Michelle Goh, was shoved in front of an incoming train by a mentally ill homeless man. Jano Lieber is the CEO of the MTA.
With a relatively small number of mentally ill homeless, but their impact on the subway system and on the ridership and, God forbid, on safety is disproportionate.
The MTA's Jano Lieber says that the fact that it happened in one of the most iconic spots emphasizes the problem New York City faces. Opening statements begin today in the federal trial for three former Minneapolis police officers charged with violating George Floyd's civil rights as Derek Chauvin pinned his neck to the street. All three are charged with failing to provide Floyd with medical care. The adult film actress who made lawyer Michael Avenatti famous 4 years ago will be the key witness in a New York courtroom. Prosecutors are trying to prove Avenatti cheated Stormy Daniels of $300,000 in book proceeds. Opening statements are scheduled for today. Jury selection begins today in New York for former Alaska Governor and vice presidential candidate Sarah Palin's lawsuit against the New York Times. Palin accuses the Times of defamation over a 2017 editorial. Global News 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. Almost 5:10 on Wall Street, time for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Good morning, John Stashower.
All right, good morning, Nathan. Has there ever been a more exciting NFL playoff game? In the final 2 minutes of regulation, 25 points were scored. There were three lead changes. Twice, Buffalo thought it had won with a Josh Allen touchdown pass to Gabriel Davis, who caught four on the night. Kept leaving Kansas City time, even when the Bills scored a go-ahead TD with only 13 seconds to go. Enough time for Patrick Mahomes. Two completions got the Chiefs in position for a game-tying field goal. They went to overtime. Kansas City won the coin flip, then won the game.
Mahomes looks to throw it. Pump faking. Right side, he wants it. A comeback cut. It is caught by Kelsey. Touchdown, Kansas City. One of the greatest duos in the history of the National Football League. Patrick Mahomes to Travis Kelce on a push fake comeback, and the Chiefs have won this incredible divisional playoff game.
42-36, Chiefs Radio. Mahomes, Bess Allen in a classic QB duel. They combined for 60 completions, over 700 yards, 7 touchdowns, plus 137 rushing yards. It's Mahomes and the Chiefs who will host Cincinnati for the AFC Championship. Rams will host the 49ers for the NFC. L.A. blew a 24-point lead. Tom Brady rallied Tampa Bay to a tie. Then the Rams, helped by a 44-yard completion, kicked a field goal to win 30-27. After three straight home losses, Knicks able to beat the Clippers at the Garden 110-102. R.J. Barrett scored 26. Knicks start a tough week tonight in Cleveland. Nets lost in Minnesota 136-125. Devils lost to the Kings 3-2. American Danielle Collins has reached the quarterfinals of the Australian Open. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan.
John, thanks. Futures lower now. S&P futures down 2 points. So are Dow futures. NASDAQ futures lower by 20 points. Lori Calvesina of RBC with us next. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by The Breakers. This winter, a warm welcome awaits you. The Breakers is committed to making your stay even better with exceptional experiences, gracious service, and unparalleled seaside glamour. To learn more, visit thebreakers.com today.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. stock index futures have turned lower, extending last week's losses, which was one of the worst stretches for global shares since the pandemic began. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. Right now, S&P futures are down 6 points, Dow futures down 20, NASDAQ futures down 37. The DAX in Germany is down 1.5%, CAC in Paris down 1.6%, and the FTSE 100 down about 1.1%. 10-year Treasury up 10.30 seconds, yield 1.72%. The yield on the 2-year, 1.0%. Or 1%, you could say. NYMEX crude oil down about 0.2% or 13 cents at $85 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.6% or $10.20 at $18.44.30 an ounce. The euro, 1.1322 against the dollar. British pound, 1.3513. And the yen is at 113.54. And just checking Bitcoin this morning, moving lower. It's at $33,600. That's down almost 5%. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. The U.S. ordered family members at its embassy in Ukraine to leave due to the continued threat of Russian military action. While the U.S. renewed warnings that Russia could send forces into Ukraine at any time, there's word President Joe Biden is considering deploying troops to Eastern Europe and the Baltics. The federal trial for three former Minneapolis police officers charged with violating George Floyd's civil rights as Derek Chauvin pinned his neck to the street is set to begin today with opening statements. In the NFL, the Chiefs beat the Bills 42-36. That means Kansas City faces the Bengals for the AFC title. The Rams beat the Bucks 30-27. Los Angeles will now face the 49ers for the NFC championship. In the NBA, the Knicks, Celtics, and Warriors won. The Nets lost. NHL action, the Devils lost. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thanks for coming up to 520 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak, and we're joined now by Lori Calvasina, head of U.S. Equity Strategy at RBC Capital Markets, as we see futures taking a turn lower now, Lori. They had been higher just a few minutes ago, actually, but now it looks like investors think there may be even further for this sell-off to run. When do you think we see capitulation?
Hi, well, thanks for having me as always. Look, I think if you look at the retail investor survey that AAII puts out on a weekly basis, we've actually already gotten very close to deeply bearish territory. If you look at the sort of unadjusted weekly number from last week, it was actually very, very close to pandemic lows. I think the net bullishness was around minus 25% or so. And we did see, you know, sort of the bears climb sharply and the bulls retreat sharply. Now, when that happened in the pandemic, when we got to similar levels, we stayed there for 12 weeks. So that doesn't mean sentiment turns around tomorrow. But I do think a lot of the bad news, whether it's from the Fed, inflation, even some of the angst we're seeing in terms of geopolitics, it's already taken a pretty big toll on investor psyche. And that doesn't mean the market turns around today, but it is an important threshold to be aware of.
Yeah, as you say, there are a lot of catalysts for investors to keep their minds on, from the Fed to earnings to these tensions with Ukraine. Do you think that a lot of this negative sentiment has further to get priced into this market?
I think that the best way to look at this right now is through the lens of the growth value rotation, because we do know, obviously, that secular growth-oriented sectors are a massive weight in the S&P 500, at least they have been. And so what's bad for that trade is bad for the broader market. And when we look at the different, you know, sort of indicators, maybe about six or seven different things we're tracking there, we do generally think that that rotation is not done yet. And I'll give you one that we published on this morning, which is just looking at the valuation gap between the most expensive stocks and the market and the cheapest stocks in the market. And we've been looking at that relative ratio and where it is relative to pre-pandemic levels. And basically, it's about 14% away. So there is still some wood to chop. There's been a significant drawdown that's happened. We've made a lot of progress in terms of correcting that valuation gap, but there is still more room to go.
A lot of attention, obviously, on the Fed meeting this Wednesday, the decision coming there. You probably heard the commentary from Goldman Sachs saying that there is a risk that there may be even more rate hikes than the market has priced in at this point. What's your expectation on what we're going to hear from Chairman Powell and the Open Market Committee this week?
So, you know, I never like to forecast what the Fed is going to say. I leave that to our economics team, but I will give the RBC economics and rate strategy team a lot of credit because they have been very, very early on the hawkish call. They've been telling us since, you know, around Thanksgiving to be prepared for a pretty, you know, aggressive Fed this year, both in terms of the hikes this year and in 2023. And they think the market is still in the process of catching up there. I will tell you that while our economists and rate strategists have been prepared for this more hawkish tilt from the Fed, equity investors have really been playing a fierce game of catch up. And we saw even right before the holiday post the last Fed meeting, most equity investors were looking for 2Q liftoff. So even, you know, kind of this March timing up, equity investors have been coming around to that, but they were really, you know, sort of very, very far behind where some economists and rate strategists were on this Fed call to start the year. So, you know, I'm hopeful that there's really not much that's going to come out this week that's going to surprise equity market participants, but we'll have to see there.
Now, obviously, this is going to be a very busy earnings week as well. It's been kind of uneven for the most part in the early going. What are you expecting when it comes to the couple hundred of S&P companies that are going to report in our last minute here?
Look, this week and next week are brutal. We get well over 200 S&P 500 companies reporting. I would say so far, based on the early reporters, the focus on strong demand, it just hasn't been the same tone as what we've heard the last few reporting season. Labor has been a hot button issue. I think that's replacing supply chains as the theme of the year. And also, Omicron disruption does appear to have been greater than anticipated based on some of the early reporters that we've seen so far. So we'll look to see if that trend continues and what comes up in the next few weeks.
It sounds like a lot of headwinds ahead as we head into the rest of this month. Lori Calvesina, head of U.S. Equity Strategy at RBC, as always, thanks for the insights getting us set for what could be a very rocky trading week as we watch futures move lower in the pre-market. S&P futures now down 13 points, Dow futures down 73. NASDAQ futures leading the declines, they're down 66 points. The 10-year Treasury is up 10/32 now. The yield 1.72%, yield on the 2-year 1% even. Bitcoin now at $33,500. Just ahead, diplomats' families ordered from Ukraine, and a department store chain gets serious takeover interest. All that and more as we check your top stories of the morning. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg 11:30 weather, sunny, high near 35 today, partly sunny tomorrow with a high near 40, sunny and cold Wednesday, highs only in the mid-20s, currently 31 degrees and cloudy in Central Park.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 991. To Boston, Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and we're just about 4 hours away from the open of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. We begin with the latest geopolitical tensions between the U.S. and Russia. The U.S. has ordered families of diplomats to leave Ukraine, and concerns about an invasion mount. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the very latest.
The signal is that Russia could invade at any time, and the State Department is issuing a statement saying, quote, the security conditions, particularly along Ukraine's borders, in Russia-occupied Crimea, and in Russia-controlled eastern Ukraine, are unpredictable and can deteriorate with little notice. There are also reports that the Biden administration is thinking about sending troops into the region. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Ed, thanks. Turning to markets now, U.S. futures are slumping as last week's sell-off looks set to continue. Let's get the very latest live from Bloomberg's John Tucker. John.
Nathan, the NASDAQ coming off its worst week since the start of the pandemic in March of 2020. It's now down over 14% from its November high. Well, the next hurdle for investors is Wednesday. That's when the Fed is expected to signal a March rate hike and balance sheet reduction later this year. The end of Fed stimulus has prompted an exodus from high-growth equities. Right now, NASDAQ futures are leading declines. They are down, right now, 99 points. Live in New York, I'm John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thank you. And as we wait for Wednesday's Fed decision, one Wall Street bank is out with a hawkish forecast. We get the latest live from Bloomberg's Renita Young. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, Karen. Goldman Sachs economists say the Fed could tighten policy more aggressively than anticipated. They're clocking rates increases in March, June, September, and December, and for the central bank to announce the start of a balance sheet reduction in July. Goldman economists are concerned because the Omicron variant is prolonging supply demand imbalances, and there's continued strength in wage growth, which could together increase ongoing inflation pressures. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Renita, thanks. Let's turn to the pandemic now and word from President Biden's chief medical advisor, Dr. Anthony Fauci. He says the Omicron outbreak is headed in the right direction, saying the surge could likely peak soon.
And in corporate news this morning, shares of Kohl's are up almost 29%. Sources say the department store chain is fielding interest from two potential buyers. And again, futures this morning have turned lower, with S&P futures down 13 points, Dow futures down 58, and NASDAQ futures down 76. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports, and this is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Karen. It's 5:33 on Wall Street. We're at 31 degrees in Central Park. We got a crash in White Plains, eastbound Route 87 near exit 80. Details coming up in traffic first. Michael Barr with more on what's going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. New York Governor Kathy Hochul has announced a new task force involving nine northeast states in fighting the rise in gun violence. It comes after Friday's shooting of two New York City police officers. One officer, 22-year-old Jason Rivera, was killed. The other, 27-year-old called Wilbert Mora is in critical condition. Mayor Eric Adams is calling on the federal government to help curb the flow of illegal guns into big cities.
The police department is doing their job, taking thousands of guns off the streets. Yet each time you take a gun off, there's a constant flow of new guns coming here.
Mayor Adams says the suspect in Friday's shooting was also shot by a third responding officer and remains hospitalized. Mayor Adams also mentioned the death of a 40-year-old woman on a subway platform in Times Square. That's making global headlines. Authorities say Michelle Goh was shoved in front of an incoming train by a mentally ill homeless man. MTA CEO Jeno Lieber says the fact that this happened in one of the city's most iconic spots emphasizes the problem New York City faces.
Right in the middle of our city, what could be more the center of the city and of the world than Times Square? For this to happen is just unthinkable, unacceptable. I called it unconscionable. There are no words. We have to do something about it.
The MTA's Jeno Lieber says, though, while the issue is atypical for the city, it's being felt acutely in this time of COVID. The federal trial for three former Minneapolis police officers charged with violating George Floyd's civil rights as Derek Chauvin pinned the black man's neck to the street is set to begin today with opening statements. All three are charged with depriving Floyd of his civil rights while acting under government authority. Disgraced attorney Michael Avenatti will stand trial today in New York on charges he cheated his client. Federal prosecutors said Avenatti stole the advance on Stormy Daniels' 2018 memoir about her long-denied affair with former President Trump. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. 5:35 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Sports Update after a wild football weekend. Here's John Stashower.
Yeah, Nathan, I don't know that we've ever had a weekend quite like that. All four games won on the final play. Three road teams won on game-ending field goals, and then the Bills and Chiefs in a game for the ages. 25 points scored in the last 2 minutes of regulation. Three lead changes, including Buffalo's go-ahead TD with only 13 seconds left. Kansas City still able to tie the game on a last-second field goal. They beat the Bills 42-36 in overtime. The Chiefs will host the AFC Championship game for the fourth year in a row. They'll take on the Bengals. The Rams beat the Bucks 30-27 on a field goal that came after Tampa Bay rallied from 24 points down to tie the game. Tom Brady nearly pulled off an epic comeback, but not quite.
At the end, there's only one team that's going to be happy. It feels good to move on when you move on, and obviously when you don't. Whether it was last week or this week or next week, or the week after, 2 weeks after that, if you're the loser in that game at all. It all sucks to lose in the end.
Asked if he's now going to retire, Brady said he will take it day by day. The Rams, after winning on the road, now go home to play the 49ers for the NFC title, and they could then just stay in L.A. for the Super Bowl. Knicks' homestand is over. They lost the first three, but beat the Clippers 110-102. Knicks with finally a solid start, 39 points in the first quarter. They never trailed. R.J. Barrett, 26 points, 14 rebounds. Knicks play tonight in Cleveland. Then they go to Miami, then Milwaukee, so they'll play three of the top five in the East. In Minnesota, 30 points for Kyrie Irving. Not enough. The Nets lost 136-125. The Devils beaten by the Kings 3-2. Daniel Medvedev into the quarterfinals of the Australian Open. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan.
Thanks, John. 5:37 on Wall Street. Time for the Tri-State Business Report with Bloomberg's Ed Corey.
Employees at an REI store in Manhattan filed for a union election on Friday. That makes the outdoor equipment and apparel retailer the latest prominent service industry employer whose workers have sought to unionize. The Times says employees cited safety during the pandemic, among other concerns, in their filing. New York sports books took more than $600 million worth of bets from phones or computers in the first 2 weeks of the activity being legal this month. The numbers posted by the New York State Gaming Commission came from FanDuel, DraftKings, Caesars, and Rush Street Interactive. Connecticut Governor Ned Lamont's administration says it plans to require all nursing home visitors to show proof of COVID-19 vaccinations or show a recent negative test before entering. Currently, visitors have to show that they have received a COVID-19 vaccine or booster. At your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report, I'm Ed Corey.
Thanks, Ed. It's 5:38 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on KTRH in Houston. Bars and gyms are bustling as Americans learn to live with COVID.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and for WBBM in Chicago, we're talking about some of the locally based companies reporting earnings this week.
I'm Caroline Hepke on Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio in London. We're reporting on the most critical week for Boris Johnson's premiership as we await the report into alleged Downing Street parties and now allegations of Islamophobia against the Conservatives.
I'm Ed Corey on WTAM in Cleveland. I'm reporting the move of Diebold Nixdorf's headquarters to Hudson is almost complete.
And those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. It's 5:39 on Wall Street.
The following is an editorial from Bloomberg Opinion.
China is the last major nation pursuing a zero-tolerance COVID strategy, seeking to extinguish outbreaks of the virus as soon as individual cases emerge. But the highly transmissible Omicron variant is testing the government's approach. Chinese officials have adopted strict measures to control emerging infections, such as locking down entire cities and mass testing millions of people. But Omicron has nevertheless spread to China's largest population centers. That includes Beijing, which is hosting the Winter Olympics in a few weeks. Given how fast this latest COVID strain travels, China has little chance of keeping case numbers low. Meanwhile, the human and financial costs of overzealous lockdowns are mounting, and public patience is wearing thin. China will probably have to abandon its zero-COVID policies at some point, perhaps sooner rather than later. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Opinion Editorial Board. I'm David Shipley. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPI and go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
You can hear Bloomberg Opinion editorials every weekday at this time. Terminal customers can read more at OPI and Go. S&P futures are now down 15 points. Dow futures and NASDAQ futures both down 80 points. The 10-year Treasury is up 9/32. The yield 1.72%. The yield on the 2-year right now, 1% even. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg 1130 weather, sunshine and a high in the mid-30s today. We'll get up to near 40, partly sunny tomorrow. Sunny and cold for Wednesday with a high only near 25 degrees. Currently 31 and cloudy in Central Park.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. European equities are falling. U.S. stock index futures reversed their gains and are lower as well as the rise in technology stocks deepens amid concerns over the Federal Reserve's imminent rate liftoff. Bonds are gaining. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. Right now, S&P futures are down about 20 points. Dow futures down 114. NASDAQ futures down 95. The DAX in Germany is down 1.9%. The 10-year Treasury up 9/32, yield 1.72%. And the yield on the 2-year, 0.99%. NYMEX crude oil is down a third of a percent or 28 cents at $84.85 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.4% or $7.10 at $18.41.20 an ounce. The euro, 1.1316 against the dollar. British pound, 1.3497. The yen's at 113.67. Bitcoin this morning is falling as well. It's at about $33,680. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, thank you very much. The State Department is ordering the families of all American personnel at the U.S. Embassy in Kiev to leave the country and allow non-essential staff to leave Ukraine. The move comes amid heightened fears of a Russian invasion of Ukraine, despite talks between the U.S. and Russian officials. One of President Trump's strongest defenders is said to have talked to the House Select Committee investigating the January 6th Capitol attack. The chairman of the committee says former President Trump's Attorney General William Barr has spoken to the panel. In the NFL, the Chiefs beat the Bills 42-36, and that means Kansas City faces the Bengals for the AFC title. The Rams beat the Bucks 30-27. Los Angeles now faces the 49ers for the NFC championship. In the NBA, the Knicks, Celtics, and Warriors won. The Nets lost. In the NHL, the Devils lost. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. 5:49 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak, and we want to get the latest now on what's happening in Ukraine. Bloomberg's Executive Editor for International Relations, Rosalind Matheson, is with us now. Roz, as we heard from Michael Barr, the State Department has ordered families of diplomats out of Kiev, and now NATO this morning is saying it's got extra forces on standby, sending more ships and fighter jets to Eastern Europe as well. It seems like things are close to a boiling point, are they?
Well, you can see that there's a heightened level of concern, certainly, about the fact that Russia is sustaining its military buildup on the border with Ukraine. It's been doing that for many weeks now, no indication that it intends to reverse that. And certainly, Russia is waiting for what expects to be U.S. written proposals this week on its security demands. But in the mix of all of that, concerns are definitely rising. You're seeing that Eastern European nations are anxious about their exposure to Russia. They're calling on NATO and others to send more troops to their countries. There already are NATO and U.S. troops, of course, in the area and frequent exercises. But certainly NATO and the U.S. want to send the message that they're there in the region, they're committed, and they're going to do it in a very visible way by having increased exercises and troops on the ground in the coming weeks.
What about that move from the U.S. expected to send written responses to Russia over its demands for security guarantees? Do we have a timeline on when that's going to happen?
All we know is that after the meeting between the U.S. Secretary of State and his Russian counterpart in Geneva last week, the Russians said that they expect to get those written proposals this week at some point. The key question is what is actually going to be in them. Of course, Russia is demanding guarantees on NATO that the U.S. and NATO say they simply cannot give. So his main demands cannot be met either way. So what you could see is the U.S. proposing things, for example, like greater communication between on the military side, greater coordination when they're doing exercises in the region, and perhaps re-energizing the conversation around the INF. Of course, that's the weapons treaty that was put on ice under the Trump administration. So committing to not putting new weaponry on Russia's doorstep, those are probably the only two things they can put on the table.
And we heard from Secretary of State Antony Blinken over the weekend being asked questions about whether the U.S. should impose sanctions on Russia now. He was sort of backing off that idea, saying it sort of gives the U.S. leverage over Russia at this point. Do we have an idea whether the U.S. and NATO are on the same page now when it comes to how to react to certain levels of Russian aggression against Ukraine?
Well, that's the real question. What do sanctions actually look like? You're seeing real differences between European nations amongst themselves on that question. How hard would you want to go economically against Russia? Because, of course, any sanctions produce collateral damage on yourself, particularly in Europe. And there's always the chance that Russia then turns off gas supplies to Europe. So you've got those differences. Europe also says that sanctions should not be a deterrent. You can only decide them and agree upon them when someone takes an action, when someone actually does something, and then there are penalty. The U.S., of course, would like to have that package agreed sooner or later. Even if it's not used, it's still there hanging out there as a deterrent for Russia. So you've got real differences about how to tackle that, let alone what sort of action would quantify a response. Is it a small incursion? Is it a cyber attack? Is it destabilization inside Ukraine? Is it a full war? Is that the only point at which sanctions are used? So many, many points of difference possibly emerging on all of that.
Thanks for this, Roz. Good having you on with us. Rosalind Matheson is our executive editor for international government for Bloomberg News. Karen.
Nathan, thank you. It is 5:53 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Law Report. It is brought to you by American Arbitration Association. Business disputes are inevitable. Resolve faster with the American Arbitration Association, the global leader in alternative dispute resolution for over 90 years. More at ADR.org. Let's get to the legal stories we're watching this morning from Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger.
OSHA says the new COVID-19 standard to protect healthcare workers should be completed in 6 to 9 months. A federal judge in West Virginia ruled that Walmart must resume litigating a class action in the state. The case stems from a 2021 data breach involving thousands of pharmacy patients. The New York State Bar Association endorsed a scaling back of law enforcement checks on law school graduates who are seeking to become attorneys.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need, all on one legal research platform, including guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
All right, Jeff, thank you. Now another legal story we're watching brings us to the Supreme Court. Justices seem poised to side with Republican Senator Ted Cruz in his challenge to a campaign finance provision regulating the repayment of candidate loans. Cruz acknowledges he structured his finances so that he could challenge the $250,000 cap on the amount of personal loans a candidate can be repaid with money raised after an election. For more on the case, Bloomberg's June Grasso speaks to Richard Berfall, a professor at Columbia Law School.
These campaign finance provisions are a little technical. Tell us about the provision at issue here.
So Senator Cruz is challenging actually a fairly minor provision of the federal election law, which deals with candidates who lend their own campaigns money and then want to get that loan paid back by the campaign after the election is over. So Senator Cruz lent his campaign $260,000. Under the law, he can be paid back in full any money the campaign receives before Election Day, and also any money up to $250,000 that the campaign receives after Election Day. The law says that you can't be paid back beyond the $250,000 with any money that comes in after Election Day.
It seemed like there was a divide between the liberal and conservative justices. What were the conservative justices concerned about?
Well, the conservative justices still see this as an indirect but real limit on the ability of a candidate to campaign, that candidates will be reluctant to advance money to their campaigns if they can't get fully reimbursed. So one point they make is that this operates as an indirect kind of limit on the ability of candidates to raise and spend money. A second point that's raised by some of them, I think Justice Kavanaugh in particular, was, you know, the law still caps the amount of donations that a donor could give to the campaign to pay back the candidate. That cap is the $2,900 cap. That would apply. And in fact, part of the oral argument was 86 people could give that permissible $2,900. That's how you get to $250,000. If 86 people could give the $2,900 to pay back the $250,000 loan, why not 87? Why not the next person? And that's the issue. As long as there's a cap on the size of the donation to the campaign committee, they don't see a corruption issue.
Let's talk about the liberals and what their position seemed to be.
Well, I think Justices Sotomayor and Kagan were clearest on this, which is they see it as a gift. They see it exactly the way in which the Federal Elections Commission and the law sees it, that at this point, it's post-election. It's not being used to pay for any campaign activity. It's basically, in effect, covering a debt that the campaign itself wasn't able to cover. And so it looks a lot like a gift. And as they said, Congress sort of set a balance. Congress did permit some post-election reimbursements up to $250,000.
And that's Columbia Law Professor Richard Berfall speaking with Bloomberg's June Grasso. Catch more of that interview, plus analysis of the latest legal news, by listening to the Bloomberg Law Show at 10 p.m. Eastern Time or subscribing to the Bloomberg Law Podcast. And attorneys can find exceptional legal research and business development tools at BloombergLaw.com. S&P futures are down about 18 points this morning. Dow futures down 106 and NASDAQ futures down 90. 10-year Treasury up 9/32, the yield 1.72%, and the yield on the 2-year 0.99%. Still ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak, a check on the business headlines and all the news you need to start your day. And this is Bloomberg.